reconvene the meeting of the Marine Resources Commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Whereas the Commission has convened a closed meeting on this date pursuant to an affirmative recorded vote in accordance with the provisions of the Virginia Freedom of Information Act, and whereas Section 2.2-3712D of the Code of Virginia requires a certification by this Commission that such closed meeting was conducted in conformity with Virginia law, now therefore the Commission hereby certifies that, to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Virginia law, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the closed meeting by the Commission.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Holland. Stand by for roll call vote. Mr. Bowden?
Aye.
Mr. Fox is absent. Mr. Holland?
Aye.
Dr. McConaughey?
Aye.
Mr. McCleskey?
Aye.
Mr. Robbins?
Aye.
Mr. Schick?
Aye.
Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is Heron Cove Villa Homeowners Association. Mr. Nykirk.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Okay. Kathy, I'll get right into the PowerPoint presentation. Before I get started, I have placed two additional letters of protest in your notebooks. One is from a Lewis call that was inadvertently left out of your packet, and there's also a follow-up letter we received just yesterday from Lawrence Teachworth. The Heron Cove Villas Homeowners Association is requesting authorization to remove a 474-foot long by 8-foot wide pier with 31 wet slips, and to construct a 700-foot long by 8-foot wide pier with 42 wet slips adjacent to their property situated along Wilton Creek in Middlesex County. The project is protested by some nearby property owners. The project is located along Wilton Creek in Middlesex County. It is a tributary to the Pyankatank River. This is the Route 3 bridge over the Pyankatank River, Stove Point down here, mouth of Pyankatank. This is a closer view of the topographic map. The site is located along the west side of the creek, and you also note from the close contour lines that the shoreline is relatively steep. This is a portion of the NOAA navigational chart for Wilton Creek. I've included it to show the relatively deep waters within Wilton Creek. You can see 6 feet just right off of the point where the project is, and those are mean lower low water, so they're a little conservative. This image is from the 2002 Virginia Geographic Information Network series that we use quite often. Coves of Wilton Creek development is all of this area. This is the Heron Cove Villas condominium portion of the project. Closer view of the same aerial showing the area of the Heron Cove Pier. The Heron Cove Villas are a 42-unit condominium development located within the Coves at Wilton Creek subdivision. In 1988, the Coves at Wilton Creek Limited Partnership received authorization to construct the current 31-slip pier, an 18-slip community pier serving a separate group of condominiums, and a community boat ramp. The commission originally denied that permit request based in part on anticipated adverse water quality impacts. That denial, however, was subsequently overturned by the Middlesex County Circuit Court on appeal. The two condominium developments are now independently owned and managed. The Heron Cove Homeowners Association seeks authorization to remove that 31-slip pier and construct a new pier with 42 larger wet slips, with the goal of providing each condominium owner their own wet slip. This image is from the Middlesex County tax map depicting the coves at Wilton Creek development. This is the Heron Cove piers. This is the other condominium development down here, which I believe is referred to as Mariner's Point. This is a closer view of that same tax map. The Heron Cove condominiums are located on a parcel with approximately 1,400 linear feet of shoreline traveling all along this area here. This is an aerial taken earlier this year looking generally north. The condominiums are concentrated atop a steep 20 to 30 foot high bank. Wilton Creek ranges between approximately 325 feet wide and 450 feet wide, depending on where you take the measurement from. Mean low water depths in the vicinity range between 6 and 8 feet in the vicinity of the pier. The deep protected waters within the creek make it a popular hurricane hole for local boaters. The existing and proposed piers generally follow the contour of the shoreline, and the proposed replacement pier will extend approximately 100 feet channel to the shore. Shoreline along both sides of the creek is steep, and there is evidence of erosion along both sections of shoreline. In fact, the association received a permit from the Middlesex County Wetland Board to install a revetment, and that work has not yet been done. Development along the entire Wilton Creek shoreline is primarily residential. This is the plan view that was included with the drawing or with the application. The existing pier is proposed to be rebuilt. The rebuilt pier will be the area in yellow. It's actually about 22 feet longer than the existing pier because the slips are going to be widened slightly. The area highlighted in orange is a proposed expansion to provide 11 additional slips. The existing pier is 474 feet long, proposed pier 700 feet long. This is the cross-sectional drawing. Just like to show a couple of the dimensions on here. The main pier will be 8 feet wide with a 20-foot catwalk and a resulting mooring piles outboard of that, creating a 40-foot slip. This is another recent aerial. Got an orange line just approximately showing the location of the proposed expansion. The project is protested by two of the condominium owners and by the owners of a parcel across the creek on Wilton Creek Road. Two homeowners within the coves at Wilton Creek subdivision near the northern end of the community pier up in this area. Originally had some concerns with the expansion. I do believe their concerns have been adequately resolved. The remaining objections to the project include aesthetic concerns related to the scale of the project, possible adverse impacts on water quality and the ecology of the creek associated with the additional boat slips, and possible increase in erosion. This is a ground shot of the existing pier. VIM states that there will be some temporary disturbance to the benthic resources and water quality associated with the demolition and reconstruction of the pier. They also identify additional wake-generated erosion as a possible concern and note that the existing bank is already undercut and that recently authorized revetment has not yet been installed. They state that 11 additional slips will increase pollution loading, resulting in water quality impacts, including reduced dissolved oxygen, elevated bacterial contamination, and additional toxins in the water column and sediments. They add, however, that the amount of the new pollution resulting from an expanded facility is generally not quantifiable, but is directly related to the care and concern exercised by the boat owners and operators. To minimize the further degradation of water quality, VIMS recommends that adequate sanitary and pump out facilities be provided as required by the health department, and that the association develop a marina management plan. This is a aerial photo looking generally south towards the mouth of Wilton Creek. The Health Department informs us that the applicant has submitted an approved plan for sanitary facilities and that they have no objection to the project. The Department of Conservation and Recreation documents the existence of natural heritage resources in the project area, but they do not anticipate any adverse impacts on those resources. There are privately leased shellfish grounds within Wilton Creek. With the exception of a riparian lease in the name of the coves at Wilton Creek, however, the project will not encroach directly on any of those leases. It should be noted that between 1972 and 1993, the lower portion of Wilton Creek was open for the direct marketing of shellfish. Since 1993, the entire creek has been condemned, and just this year, two smaller coves near the mouth of the creek were also included in the condemnation. While it is difficult to attribute the increased condemnation to a specific event or activity, the increased condemnation is certainly indicative of declining water quality throughout. I'd like to just show you a few of the Health Department's condemnation maps. This is where it stood in 1972, 1986, 1989. In 1993, it moved down to the mouth of the creek. And then just earlier this year, it began to encompass these two smaller coves just down here. The siting criteria checklist and the Commission's criteria for the siting marinas or community facilities for boat mooring identifies four criteria associated with this facility as undesirable. Specifically, the salinity is suitable for shellfish growth, and there are private shellfish leases in the vicinity. The creek is presently used for other potentially conflicting uses such as swimming, crabbing, and fishing, and the adjacent shoreline requires stabilization. Finally, the regulation states that for community piers that the number of slips will not necessarily be predicated by the number of units on the property, and that projects by their cumulative impact will result in dense concentrations of boats in one area will be critically evaluated as to their impact on natural resources. This is the plan view drawing that accompanied the original permit, which was issued in 1987. Actually, it was processed in 87. I believe it was actually issued in 88. When the permit was applied for in 87, the applicant originally requested 42 wet slips. During the review of the application, the applicant reduced the number of requested slips to 31 in an attempt to limit the size of the seasonal closure that was going to be imposed by the Health Department, and as a proffer to reduce the anticipated adverse impacts on navigation and the creek environment. This proposal seeks authorization to increase the number of slips at the pier to that which was originally proposed in 1987. It's interesting to note that during the review of the original application, there was considerable discussion regarding the arbitrary nature of the Health Department's seasonal condemnation based solely on the number of wet slips. Although the number of slips was reduced to minimize the size of the seasonal condemnation, increased pollution within the creek has since resulted in a year-round condemnation of the entire creek. Okay, I'll go right into summary and recommendations. High-density waterfront developments raise difficult resource allocation questions. These questions become increasingly complex when there's a limited length of shoreline shared in common by various owners. While staff agrees that these owners have some rights associated with the commonly owned shoreline, those rights probably only include some limited common right to access the water. Staff does not believe that this common interest in a development automatically includes a right to construct a pier or moor a vessel there too. This opinion is clearly expressed in the Commission's marina siting criteria. As a result, staff's often left with trying to determine what constitutes reasonable access for owners of such developments. Further complicating this issue is our inability to predict with any certainty the adverse impacts that could result from increased boating activity. At this time, the multitude of physical and use factors involved make predicting the carrying capacity of a creek virtually impossible. In cases where there is a potential for significant environmental impacts and where the public and private benefits are ill-defined, staff believes it is prudent to proceed with caution. In this particular case, the increasing size of the shellfish condemnation area seems to support the declining water quality within Wilton Creek that staff anticipated in 1987. For high-density developments, we typically recommend that the number of slips be related to the number of lots that could have been constructed had the property been developed as single-family lots. Under current zoning practices in Middlesex County, approximately 9 single-family lots could have been located along the 1,440 linear feet of shoreline associated with the Heron Cove condominiums. For comparison, the east side of Wilton Creek is developed as large single-family lots, and there are approximately 21 lots along 10,300 feet of shoreline, equating to approximately one lot per 490 feet of shoreline. Based on the 2002 aerial photography, there were 18 piers along the east side of the creek. Even if the commission were to allow two slips per potential single-family lot on the Heron Creek condominium pier, the pier would only have 18 slips. Accordingly, the existing pier already has more slips than staff typically recommends for this type of community amenity. Therefore, since there is a clear potential for adverse environmental impacts associated with this proposal, staff recommends the commission proceed cautiously when authorizing additional slips along the creek, especially since the water quality within the creek has declined in recent years. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against all concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, and after considering all of the factors contained in Section 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, we recommend the Commission authorize the removal of the old 31-slip pier and reconstruction of the proposed replacement pier with the 31 slightly larger wet slips, since this is what the Court authorized, with the stipulation that the applicant is required to develop an acceptable marina management plan. Staff is unable to recommend approval for the proposed 176 linear feet of new pier with 11 new wet slips, nor the triangular deck area at the northern end of the new pier. Finally, staff also recommends the assessment of a royalty at a rate of $1.50 per square foot for the encroachment of the piers and slips over state-owned submerged land. If approved as recommended by staff, that assessment would be $37,548 based on an encroachment over 25,032 square feet of state-owned bottom. Should the commission approve the project as applied for, the recommended assessment would be $50,850 based on an encroachment over 33,900 square feet of state-owned bottom. It's a long evaluation, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Does anyone have any questions for Chip? Mr. Schick.
The Middlesex County zoning, what is the minimum lot size?
150.
It is 150.
Yes, sir.
So if you're talking about 160, you couldn't get one more. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chip, is this the largest concentration of boats in this waterway?
Within Wilton Creek?
Right.
Yes, these two condominiums. There's the Mariner's Point condominiums, which is located right at the bottom, which is also part of the coves at Wilton Creek development, was the southernmost pier. That has, I want to say, 40 slips or so, and then this one.
And the original project, I note that you're recommending that whatever we approve, we would have to require an acceptable marina management plan. Did the original project have
a
marina management plan?
No. That's been something VIMS has been recommending, and we've typically been recommending on projects in the last, 3-4 years, somewhere in that range.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
I have one.
Mr. McCluskey.
Chip, new marina, or redesigned marina, at pump up facilities, and all boats have holding tanks?
No, I believe they have an agreement. They have satisfied the health department's requirement for that. So.
What do you mean by agreement?
Mr. Holland.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm not sure if this one will have its own pump out. They might be able to address that. Sometimes they'll have an agreement with a neighboring marina or boat facility that has a pump out, saying that they can pump boats out over there at no cost, typically.
What do they have now?
I'm not sure if they've got a pump out right now or not. Health department typically requires that, all of that, and then they have commented back to us saying that they are in conformance.
Chip, I have one question maybe you can answer, if not the other person. pertaining to the revetment, in the process and progress made? You said it's not been. Do you have any ideas?
Constructed.
Timetable?
I assume they're wanting to do that after they've taken the other pier out.
Okay.
It would make access a whole lot easier.
I'll ask that question. Any other questions? Good presentation. Thank you, Chip.
Thanks.
Is the applicant here or represented? Come forward.
Good morning.
Is the gentleman going to testify as well? Do you know, or will he be having any?
Possibly.
Could y'all both come forth, be sworn at the same time? Could you? Are you an attorney, ma'am?
I am.
And representing the applicant.
I am.
Need to swear the applicant, please. Could you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
And state your name, please.
Cliff Wood, President of Board of Directors.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. We'll hear from you after counsel. Good morning, ma'am. Good to have you here.
Thank you. And I'm Carlotta Thompson Dozier from Chadwick, Washington. This is my first time before the commission.
So glad to have you here.
Thank you.
My second time being up here on this side, so we're in the same boat together.
As such, I'm not sure of the procedures, but what I'd ask is that we have the opportunity for rebuttal.
Absolutely. The normal practice of the commission is after the applicant, then the protesters provide their case, then you're afforded 3 minutes, give or take, for rebuttal.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
I'd just like to cover a couple of issues that were presented during Chip's presentation and to explain some of the issues that are concerning. I think one of the biggest issues, Mr. Chairman, that you raised was the riprap, the revetment. And that's one of the process when they tear this pier down, if approved, to rebuild. And the additional slips will actually help fund that riprap project. Currently, where the dock is, and I actually... Thank you. Currently, where the way the pier sits does not present itself for easy access to do that. They would actually either have to come over the land, and if they did that, they'd tear up the shoreline and a couple of other things.
Okay.
It will... The corner, if you can see...
grab you a pointer here, too.
Beautiful.
Where'd it go? Here it is.
Okay. Initially, this is where they were attempting to bring in the barge. They needed to bring in a barge with the rocks in order to shore it up. Some of the neighbors had concerns about that, and naturally, in respecting their concerns, opted not to bring that barge in. The only other place that they could bring it in would be in this area to do that. It would be a lot easier to tear down the pier, once the pier is now torn down, to actually do the revetment project, which is why it has not started as of yet. Although they do anticipate that once they tear down that pier, they'll shore up they'll do the riprap, shore it up before they install the new pier. As Chip read through his evaluation, I wanted to point out a couple of things. One of those is on page 2 of that, under the issue section, as you note in paragraph 2, they discuss the pollution not being quantifiable and not being... We can't say that the resulting pollution problem or concern that is presented in the cove is a result of these additional boat slips. There's been additional construction, new homes have been built, there have been all kinds of different levels of erosion and runoff that may have led to the degradation in the water quality. But more importantly, as you note, the health department has approved this because the coves have done everything that they needed to do. They've got the appropriate plan in place, the water management plan. They've actually just applied for and are in the process of going through the checklist to become clean marina. And so they're following those procedures. They've got the signs. They have everything in place to help facilitate the avoidance of additional pollution. And one of the things that I think even Mr. Nykerk pointed out was that it can't be quantified, we can't say that this is going to continue to create a problem. The 31 slips as it currently stands, the homeowners that have objected, and I think Mr. Nykerk pointed out that there were several homeowners, those homeowners actually have slips. They have boat slips. They have boats that are moored there. They are utilizing that facility. So it's not a matter of they're an objection to the idea of boat slips. They're just an objection to additional boat slips. And I think when we start to look at the big picture, the Coves at Mariner, one of the reasons that people moved to Heron Point was because the idea of being able it was advertised that you would have the ability to do this. Initially, when this process went through in 88, when the slips were first installed, and it went back and forth and ultimately ended up in court and was overturned, the Coves did everything possible to make sure that they could facilitate that process, which included dropping the number of slips down from 42 to 31, but that wasn't solely based on the water quality or the degradation. There were a lot of negotiations that went into that, and then it was ultimately approved at that level because that's all they asked for. Once it got to the point where it was appealed and went to the court, the only thing they asked for were the 31 slips, and that was approved as done. As you saw, all of those condos that sit for Heron Point sit on the lakefront. All of the condos face the lake. All of the condos have lakefront access. That in the selling of these homes in these condos was probably one of the bigger draw points. As you're aware, most of these boats sit on the lake for approximately half the year. They're not there year-round. They don't create year-round problems, but it is a safe haven. And I'm sure you're aware that as we've had Isabel and Gaston and some other things, the Chesapeake Bay and having the ability to moor your boat in a safe haven is very important. This pier, the additional wet slips, is consistent with what the use of the land. It's consistent with the appropriate use of that waterfront. These additional slips that we propose building will not obscure anyone's view. All of the homeowners that have actually protested will still be able to see, to have the access to the lake. They'll still be able to view the lake, although that view may not be unobscured, but they still have that ability. There has been no indication that any homeowner, and I think there are also homeowners that have requested slips in this area that have built piers since 1998, there's been no indication that any homeowner has been denied the opportunity to build a slip. In those single-family homes, all of those single-family homes that have requested to build slips have had that ability. So if the Coves, if these were 42 single-family homes spread out along the lake and had requested the ability to build a slip, there's no indication that those slips would be denied. As such, all 11 of the slips that they're requesting have potential buyers, which is very important when you recognize that the cost of the riprap is going to be quite costly, very expensive. Those 11 slips will help offset that cost. Currently, if those 11 slips weren't granted, that riprap project would naturally take a little longer because the cost of it is borne by the homeowners of that live in that development. And as such, this also helps prevent the erosion control in other situations. And to answer the question about the pump out station, that's at Mariner's Point. There's an agreement between Mariner's Point and Heron Cove that they will use that pump out station. And if you don't have any further, if you have questions for me.
Would that be the
Mr. Holland?
Excuse me. Would that be the agreement if you are granted the new slips also?
Yes.
I think if we could proceed this way, is Mr. Wood going to speak? I'd like to hear from Mr. Wood. Then what we'll do is we'll entertain questions of both you and Mr. Wood, if that pleases the commission. Mr. Wood, come forward.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Good
morning, sir.
I think Carla did an excellent job, I think, of presenting our position here. I just did want to stress that we have saved about half of the amount of money for the riprap. We initially priced it about 3 years ago, and we actually increased the union association dues by $100 per month for each unit owner to pay for the riprap. We got bids and estimates in, and it was about $100 per linear foot. That number now is in excess of $200 per linear foot with all the bids we've gotten. So basically, we're trying to play catch-up. The additional extra 11 slips would obviously generate some revenues, some proceeds for us, and his intent to use majority of those for that. We have ordered signs in terms of the Clean Marina program. We've spent about $250 in signs. Those have just come in. We're going to put those up. They include a list of the clean boating tips. They include notices about sewage discharge, about oil and fuel discharge, We have contact numbers for the pump out station on that, and we have phone numbers for any immediate emergency response to our managing agent in the event there are any issues with the dock. So we're moving, I think, quite aggressively in the direction of having a good marina management program. So thank you very much. Unless there are any questions about the construction.
Come forward. We'll stand for questions together, if you would, please. Any questions from the commission?
One.
Mr. McCluskey?
Castle, you refer to this project on a lake. Is it a lake? Or
no, but they counseled me on that. I live in a landlocked area.
We counseled our counselor.
Yeah, they counseled me as soon as I sat down.
Thank you.
Counsel for the commission, Mr. Josephson.
You're looking at the additional slips to offset the cost of the riprap. What is the rate for a slip or anticipated to be, whatever it is now? Or
anticipated sale price? Is that your question? We anticipate the slip to sell approximately for about $25,000 to $26,000. We've had some recent appraisals for condominiums with slips and some without, with recent selling prices. The one I personally have says the value of the slip is in the $25,000 range. And again, we are limited in who we can sell them to. Of course, they're only for sale to unit owners there. They are not leased. They're not open for lease outside of our community. So they're limited solely for the purpose of the villas.
Any questions? Got a couple, Counselor, if I could. You make note of CHIP's assessment where the water quality, the detriments or the increased load cannot be quantified. Well, or how much load the specific creek can have. But quantifying it may be somewhat difficult, but at the same time, how would you address the situation of the increased pollution subsequent to the decision of the court that authorized me? Because obviously the commission was concerned in 1988 about water quality, and apparently the commission's concerns have come true. Realizing that one can't associate the additional slips as potential pollution, but at the same time, one certainly can't say that they're going to make the water quality any better. Help me a little bit on addressing that concern.
Mr. Chairman, you're absolutely correct, but recognizing that these initial slips were built in 1988, and then in 89, the next time, excuse me, 98, when the next time when that wetland was evaluated, it was at the same level. It wasn't until 2002 where we first start to see that the condemnation of that land extended. Now, how do we justify? What do we say caused it? Well, it could have been, you know, the increased development of new homes. It could have been the increased runoff. It could have been a result of a lot of different things. We can't really say, and I think Chip was 100% correct, we can't say what caused it. It has happened. I think it's when you relate it to pollution, just air pollution. Yes, we can say that, you know, new car sales, we sell new cars, more pollution, but more new cars, older cars on the road, newer cars have better, you know, the ability to protect the environment a little bit better. So it's one of those situations. This pier, the wet slips need to be replaced, whether it's today or in 3 or 4 years. They do need to be replaced because naturally with time. So, yes, the new slips will be of a better quality. The new slips will actually probably degrade less than the older slips because time has changed and things and materials may be better.
Well, I guess my concern is this, going back to the water quality issue. If you've got a bathtub that's full of water, completely full, and then we go and do something to put something into that bathtub, the water's not going to go down. It's going to go out and over. And I'm concerned that although you cannot directly attribute this additional slips to how much degradation is going to occur, my concern is there going to be, because it appears to me, by virtue of the evidence before the commission, that the water quality of this specific body of water has degraded significantly for whatever reason over time, and to add additional slips certainly is not going to reduce the amount of degradation of the water quality. So that's a concern. The other concern I've got is you referred to that the condos have been advertised as a drawing point potential to be able to use these slips. Certainly no one has bought a condominium at this point thinking they're getting a slip, when there's only 31 there. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, you're not buying in with the mindset that you're entitled to a slip, but it's definitely a draw. It's sort of like a community pool. You don't necessarily buy in with the mindset of utilizing it, but if you want to use it, it's there. You have that ability.
Okay.
And I think that's one of the drawing points for this community.
I think one point to remember, of those 11 units that don't have a slip, they do have boats. Those boats are going somewhere. Either they're in one of the local marinas at Fishing Bay, or they're in Broad Creek, or they're in a leased marina or a leased slip somewhere. Those boats are still in the body of water in the Pianki Tank and Rappahannock area. So
the problem with that premise is that also opens up the opportunity for 11 more boats to be placed in the creek.
Somewhere
else, anyway.
I think the key to that is probably,
yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I think
yes, sir.
Probably the key here is good marina practices, good marina management. I think we're working very aggressively in that direction. And I think that would make a big difference wherever your marina is.
And I think that's one of the points that Chip pointed out, that as long as the users of the slips are practicing good marina, if they're practicing good stewardship over the marina, then it will maintain. If the 31 boat slips that are currently there just started, you know, those boats just went to, you know, in a handbasket, the same thing would happen.
Yes, ma'am.
But as long as they're using good stewardship, and the 11 owners who actually want these boat slips are using good stewardship, I think you're putting yourself in a position to maintain it at least at the level that it is. No, it probably will not get any better as a result of new slips, but it won't get any worse. There's no indication that it will get any worse.
Okay. Mr. Schick.
Yes. I have a marina myself, so I'm familiar with what you're going through as far as getting the clean marine status, and it's admirable. And it is something to note that a well-run marina with best management practices has a very small effect on the environment, much less than the other elements that are probably polluting that creek there. But I do have one problem that you haven't addressed, and I'm hoping you can expand on this. In our criteria for siting of community facilities, we talk about only allowing enough slips based on waterfront property that could be used as a single-family home. And you haven't addressed why you think you should be exempt from that criteria. To me, that is the largest of the stumbling blocks. The other issues are debatable, and, of course, that's what we're here to do, too. But that is the largest of the stumbling blocks, and I'd like you to address that.
And Mr. Schick, I'm going to throw it to you in a fashion that makes sense for all of us. It's easy to understand. If this was an apartment building, it'd have more parking spaces than a single-family home on that same piece of land. And we expect that it'll have more parking spaces because more people will need to utilize it to be able to park there because it is an apartment building and it has a lot more residents. That's the same situation at Wilton Creek. There are more residents there. I mean, and they're condensed, and it's understandable that there will be more boat slips in that area than if had this been single-family homes. But if we stretch the single-family homes out for the same number, it would still probably equal the same number of boat slips. Maybe stretch out a little further along the creek, but it would still be the same.
But you would be taking away from the other single-family homes. If I'm pretty familiar with this area because I've been down to your facility looking at one of the condos, actually. So I know it pretty well a couple of years ago, and pretty much the entire waterfront is developed as far as single family homes, so you couldn't spread it out. You'd have to stretch the land out,
right? But before those additional developments actually came to fruition.
So what you're saying really is back when you originally had this permitted, you felt that you were unjustly shortened in the number of slips that you could put there.
I think that they used negotiation tactics that allowed them the ability to use to install 31 slips. And although 42 was what they wanted then and 42 is what we're asking for now, I think that through negotiations, 31 is what they were willing to settle for.
And I'd also like to comment if I could walk up there just for a minute.
Sure.
There's a point up there.
This is Mr. Wood speaking.
Yes.
If you need to stay there because we are making a verbatim record in case this matter is appealed to the circuit court.
I'm sure I know how to work this thing. Can you see it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, and what we're talking about is, of course, when the plan is extending over here to this point, our property still extends around the corner here another 300 to 400 feet. There is a joint ownership of the clubhouse that is here, and then the Mariner's Point, which has 20 condos and 20 slips, actually 21, is just to the left of that. So basically what we're asking is, here are people, 11 people that have waterfront property. They can sit on their deck. They can look at the water. But from the standpoint of having somewhere to keep their boat or being able to enjoy the water, the slips, or the dock, they have to go somewhere else. So that was kind of one of our considerations.
One other question.
Mr. Schick.
Are you contending that there's more than 1,440 feet of waterfront property that can be associated with the marina?
It does not solely belong to us. It is in joint ownership with the homeowners, with Mariner's Point, and with the villas as well. So I just wanted to point out the area to the left there is partially owned, about 33% with the club belongs to the villa. So there's nothing else going over there.
What is the footage of your property all the way through to the joint ownership of the property? What's the total length of that shoreline?
Approximately 1,400 feet over to the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an area of the clubhouse is probably about, I'm guessing here because I haven't measured it,
right,
approximately about 150 feet there. And then it gets into the property at Mariner's Point, which is all wooded, as you can see there on the left. On
right.
The left.
There's, what, about another 150 feet at Mariner's Point?
Come around that corner,
yes. Okay.
And I think if you'll notice, Mr. Schick, as Mr. Wood pointed out, there are 20 condos at Mariner's Point, but there are 21 slips over there. And that's an adjacent condo community that was actually developed in the same time frame that Wilton Creek was as well.
Okay.
Any further questions?
I have one question.
Mr. McCleskey.
Is the riprap for the waterfront dependent on the additional 11 slips?
I think the comment I made earlier, we've been saving money. We've increased our association dues at a rate of $100 a month and been saving money to do that. We currently have enough cash on hand to do half the project, which is about 450 to 500 feet of riprap. We still, and I'm glad you brought that up, the new slips, if the other area that we wanted to do the riprap was around this point right here. So the new slips extending to here will still allow us access to get in there to do the riprap, and that's one of the reasons we didn't add any additional walkways or accesses to the new dock or anything. We only have the two accesses here, so we wouldn't cover one any more wetland, and the last phase of the riprap project we could do with easy access. So we've got enough money on hand for about half of it currently, and then the sale of the new slips would help us fund the remaining portion of that.
Any further? Yes, ma'am.
And I was going to actually ask Mr. Wood a question, Mr. Chairman.
You may.
And without the sale of the new slips, how long do you anticipate it would take to do the additional riprap construction?
Probably about 3 years if the prices don't go up. But as I told you, the prices have gone up 100% in about 2 to 3 years with Isabel and everything else that hit us. So.
Question.
Mr. Tankard.
Do you agree with staff's concern that the erosion has been generated by the already existing marina?
I think all of the boat operators in our marina are very cautious about their wake. We talk to each other constantly. As you know, it's a public waterway. If somebody comes in a little bit too fast, creating a little bit of a wake, we have been known to go out on the dock and say, hey, please slow it down, because we're very, very aware of the erosion effects of boat wakes and that sort of stuff in our marina. Both Mariner's Point and Villas as well. Watch that very, very closely. We're right there on the water essentially 24 hours when we're there in our condo. So we caution everybody coming in, whether they live there or they're just visiting, please take care of your wake. There are three no-wake signs in the entranceway of Wilton Creek, one at the entrance, one at Mariner's Point, and one directly across from the slips here.
Any further? Mr. Schick.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So this is a county no-wake zone?
Yes.
Maintained by the villas, or who maintains the no-wake signs?
We recently had to replace a new one with the landowners on this side. We paid for that.
So you are maintaining,
right.
And it is a posted no-wake zone.
Yes, there's three of them.
And I think Mr. Teethwork pointed out in his letter to the board, to the commission, that the one violation that he was aware of was actually fined $75 for violating any of the marina rules and regulations.
Right. Okay. Let me see if there's any opponents to the...
Thank you very much.
Well, yes, sir. Thank you very much for your presentation. Is anyone in the audience in opposition to the project? Yes, sir. Could you come forward, please? Good to have you here, sir. Could you state your name and who you represent?
Yes, my name is Lou Call, and I'm a homeowner.
Could you raise your right hand?
Yes, I will.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you, sir.
I'm somewhat uncomfortable being here as an adversarial point of view because I don't usually get in that position with people that are my neighbors and, for the most part, friends. It's not to say the others are enemies. It's just that I don't know some of them.
Understood.
But... I'd like to break this down into three areas that I take issue with here. And if you could, I'd like to see a similar picture as that, only the one that shows the Mariners Point slips also.
Do you have
to
that
the, to the south. It was shown earlier.
I think I've got a
couple. Yeah, it shows both. It just gives a broad perspective.
That's help you?
Okay.
Okay.
Here's a pointer.
I just want to show that slip, that slide, to indicate the extent of the shoreline that is currently docked, if you will. My first point here is basically a strictly personal point. I bought actually two condos. I bought a two-bedroom condo originally, thinking that was going to be adequate. I have five children. I realized that I needed more than two bedrooms, and I bought a second one. And when I bought the second one, it has three bedrooms. It is immediately adjacent to the walk that goes down to the slips. So in some cases, when I go there, I can't park right in front of my unit because somebody's there that wants to go to their boat. But that's not a major objection. The reason I bought the particular units I did was that the view was incredible, looking down the creek. There was nothing in front of it. The slips weren't there. The slips would be the left of my northernmost unit, and that's what I wanted. The statement that some slip owners that have slips now don't want other people to have them is not necessarily correct. I mean, I certainly empathize with the people that don't have slips, but I think it's fair to say that most of the people at One Slips now purchased their units subsequent to the slips being put up, and they knew full well at that time that there was no slip in conjunction with the unit. And I'm actually taking a position against my own financial interest here because the one unit I have does not have a slip. And it's pretty well known that the selling price of the units with slips is substantially higher than those without slips. So, and that's the unit, the two-bedroom unit, that I intend to sell in the near future. Not immediately, but in the near future. So what I'm saying is by not having a slip, by voting against having a slip, I'm taking a position against my own financial interest, okay? Anyway, so that's the aesthetics of it. I really would prefer not to have anything in front of my unit. Okay, this will be immediately in front of my unit. The other homeowner who's objecting is also in the same unit as me, so he has the same type of concern, okay? The second point is the community aspect of it. My personal feeling is that while it would be nice to have additional slips, perhaps for those that don't, I believe it's out of scale with the community, the size of the community right now. You're talking 700 feet as opposed to 474 feet, okay? Now, some people have taken issue with me because I talked about 16 foot 8 inches as the width of the slips versus 16 feet. If you look at the plan that was submitted, the drawing, the existing 474 feet, if you divide that by 31 slips, you come up with 15 feet 3.5 inches as an average center-to-center slip width. If you take 700 feet and divide it by 42, you come up with 16 feet 8 inches. Just simple mathematics, okay? So as the plan is submitted now, it's showing a center-to-center distance of 16 feet, 8 inches. I personally feel that that's excessive because that gives a net width of 16 feet. I have a 30-foot sailboat. Beam is like 10.5 feet. Typically, boats in that range are 11 today are 11 feet to maybe 12 and a half feet. So the plan as submitted is, in my view, excessive, perhaps both in the size of the slips and the number of the slips. I'm not at all convinced that all 42 owners want a slip. I think that's probably a reach. I do know that at least one owner has two slips right now in that community. So, from aesthetic reasons and my own particular interests and the communities, I'm against this project. And also from the scale of it, even if it were to be approved, I'm against the scale of it. For example, I went out and measured a sampling of the slips, not all of them, not all 31. And if I average them out, the maximum width was 16 foot 8 inches, and the minimum was 13 foot 8 inches. And that averages out to 15 feet 2 inches, if you just take an average, which is very close to the 15 feet 3 and a half inches I indicated that is on the plan if you divide the 474 by the 31 slips. Okay? So I took that and I averaged that out and I said, okay, if we go with 15 foot 2, what is that going to be? And that comes to 637 feet, 63 feet less than the 700 feet. If you take the 15 feet 3 and a half inches, which is exactly what the average is right now, comes up to 1,642 feet, 58 feet less than you have right now. So in both instances, even if the whole project was approved, the length does not have to be 700 feet. Now, you might say, well, we need more width because the boats can't get in. Well, that's not true. Every one of these slips is filled right now, for the most part, and boats are getting in the 13-foot, 8-inch slips. In fact, that's one of those is right next to my current slip, and that was a 38-foot Island Packet, which is a very wide boat for its length, okay? And he got in there. Now, he might want to have a little more space, but he did get in there, and he kept it there for some years, okay? The comment about the Mariner's Point having 21 out of 20 by the council for the coves is not appropriate because they knew going in there that a slip was going to be available. That was in the plans. That wasn't an afterthought. And this here is an afterthought. So from the standpoint of my personal view, let's say, from the aspect of how it's going to affect the overall view of the community and from the size of the project itself, I'm against this.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Any questions from the commission? No questions? Thank you, sir. The applicant has 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Very likely won't even take all 3 minutes. Just briefly, and kind of point out a couple of things. As Mr. Poole pointed out, the aesthetics of this boat. He has a view that's unobstructed. But I think what he's failed to tell the commission is his boat actually obstructs somebody's view because all of these properties sit on they all sit up against the water. So everyone has this view of the creek. Anytime there's a boat there, somebody's view is going to be obstructed. And so the fact that his view will now become obstructed by that really doesn't detract from the fact that at some point his boat is obstructing somebody else's view. And I think that we just need to be mindful of that. The second point that he indicated was that the size, the 226 additional feet, basically what we're asking for, is not to scale. And I think what he may have failed to remember is that there are some landings on here that take up actual physical space, and that landing is not included if you just divide the 700 feet by 42 slips. Yes, that number is going to be off because you're not, in fact, including the landings. The desire for Wilton Creek to have 42 boat slips was not an afterthought. This is what they asked for originally, and through negotiations settled for 31, but still wanted 42 slips. They're just asking to be put back in the position where they started. They wanted 42 slips originally for all 42 homeowners to have a slip, have the ability to have a slip. The parking situation, unfortunate as it may be, those are your neighbors. And I think we've all come home at some point when we lived in a community that may have been somewhat congested and a neighbor was parking your parking
space. And that's out of our purview of consideration as well. So
just so that we're mindful that this, the boat slips don't affect will only affect those that actually live in the creek in terms of the number of slips and the additional people that may be utilizing it. Those are their neighbors. And I just ask the commission to grant the proposal as presented with the 42 slips, with the 42 slips and allow Wilton Creek the ability to tear down the one, the dock that they have and replace it.
Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you.
No, sir. That would be out of order. The rules we use. No, sir. You have not. In all due respect, the rules we use here are pretty well set.
Similar to court,
sir.
Similar to court.
Yes, sir. No, sir. Not at this juncture. The matter is before the commission for discussion. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just reviewing some of our policy guidelines for citing these types of projects, you know, one of our stated written policy goals is minimizing adverse environmental impacts must be the ultimate goal in all phases of planning, siting, construction, and operation. And if we look at that in the context of the code, we do have to consider the impact of a project like this on other reasonable and permissible uses of state waters, marine fisheries resources, and water quality. And I guess what strikes me about this project is just looking at the ecological track record of this waterway, it clearly is sensitive to human interaction. It's sensitive. And while that may not be quantifiable, as is stated in the VIMS report, we've certainly seen a degradation of water quality in this area. It was once open for shellfish harvesting, and it's since been closed, and that was within 5 years of the roughly of the installation of this project. I think it's clearly an ecologically sensitive area, and against that backdrop, these other issues come to the forefront. The number of slips relative to the number of possible single-family lots that could be on the property, while we've used that as a guideline and rule of thumb, particularly in areas that are ecologically sensitive, the circuit court decision in 1988 allowed for 31 slips, which is well above the number that we would use in considering that criteria. And that may well have been to the detriment of the creek. While it may not be quantifiable, that's not to say that the impacts are not direct or that the impacts are not substantial. And I think in the context of that, it would be appropriate, and I would move to approve staff's recommendation.
Okay. Let me see if we have any further discussion before the motion. Any further discussion? Mr. Schick.
The guidelines really are applied to a wide variety of type of developments. I think these guidelines address not only the multifamily use of these types of developments, but also ones that have interior lot developments. And I think more times what we find is you have more lots on the interior that want a pier. And, of course, we had to kind of say that we can't do that. You know, just because you buy an interior lot doesn't it give you a right to have a pier. These people have waterfront lots, in a sense. And I think we can give them a little bit more. You know, we should be able to give them a little bit more leeway than developments that have interior lots that want piers. The funds that would come from the additional slips would pay to improve the water quality by helping with the riprap. It is an expensive proposition to do that, and I think the creek would be better with 11 additional slips in the riprap than not having the riprap and not having the 11 additional slips. And I think we can weigh those types of things back and forth also. As to the scale of the project, 45-foot long slips are very commonly built today to 16 feet, 17 feet wide because boats are getting wider. This marina is not built for what's existing. This marina will be built for obviously what it's going to be housing for the next 20 years before it has to be rebuilt again. I just think these are things that we need to consider. It's not just the 11 slips. This creek is obviously has degraded water quality, and it's not due necessarily to just boat traffic, but I think it's more due to the development along the shoreline, potential erosion is probably the number one cause for this degradation, and I think this is a good way to address it.
Mr. Holland.
I agree with Mr. Schick. I think when the project is completed, as the applicant has proposed with the riprap, I think the water quality will be improved, because you'll be making such a great upgrade in the community.
Mr. Tankard.
I have to say I feel a little bit as though we're being held hostage. It seems very evident that this marina, upon beginning its function, has made the creek, has closed the creek to commercial shellfish harvesting. The staff says it seems to be related. If you look at the data, it would seem to me to be related. It also seems to me that the erosion is part of the marina. Staff seems to say this. It seems as though the riprap should be the responsibility of the existing marina, and we really shouldn't be held hostage for having a larger marina so that we can fix conditions of the present marina.
Mr. McCloskey.
I think if you go back in time, you'll find that most of the erosion and contamination of shellfish is from upland development. I recite Pleasure House Creek in Virginia Beach. It does not have a boat slip on it, not one, but it's been closed to shellfish in half for the last 20 years or more. I don't think you can completely relate the presence of a boat slip, to the combination of the shellfish and the creek. I think another thing, I think this marina is certainly well designed. And anything less than 16 feet, which is not any clear when you take the pile into consideration, it probably be less than 15 feet in the clear. And that I think that as this is presented, I think it makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Mr. Heap.
Yeah.
Mr. Shiggin, before we go any further, I may have erred procedurally. I probably should have honored Mr. Robbins' motion at the time, and the chair will rule that if there's a motion made, it will be Mr. Robbins' motion first, just not to cut you off.
Sure. I've been on that shoreline where there's marinas and where there's not marinas, and there is no more erosion at the site of this marina than there are at sites that are without docks in front of it. There's a no-wake zone there, to slow down that traffic, and I think this erosion is being aided probably by people not respecting the no-wake zone, but I think through best management practices and being a clean marina that hopefully the education process will get more in tune with minimizing that.
Thank you. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would agree that best management practices are very important for this project, especially given the history of the water quality in the creek. I think going forward that's something that does need to be applied to the project. But, again, I think it's a question of scale, a question of whether or not the applicant has already exercised their statutory right to wharf out. And I think they have, and they have done so at the upper limit of what's reasonable in terms of number of slips, and that's why I've offered the motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Second by Mr. Bowden. Any further discussion prior to the vote? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
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 All in favor of the motion, raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes. Staff recommendations accepted. Next item on the agenda is the Virginia Institute of Marine Science.
Mr. Chairman,
close this one.
I had to get trained on that yesterday since I don't get up here that often. Just for the benefit of the new commission members, my name is Tony Watkins, and I serve as the deputy chief of the Habitat Management Division. Normally, you would have seen Hank Badger, who is our environmental engineer, who covers the Eastern Shore, making this briefing. He's also our co-manager of our engineering, our leasing program for Oyster Grounds. He had previously scheduled vacation for this week, and when the commission meeting was changed, we didn't make him change his plans so that he could be with his family this week. So you get to hear me go over this plan that has been presented, or this proposal that has been presented. What I'm going to do is brief these two items that have been requested as one. One is a renewal of a previous set-aside for SAB restoration. The second request is additional area adjacent to the previous set-aside. And I, like I said, I'll brief them as one, but I think at the end they probably need to be voted on as two separate items, and you had to have two motions for this particular these two particular projects. Back in 1998.